Why don't we turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 this morning? We're going to look at a few verses in there and then jump down to chapter 13. Cool. Give me a wave when you get to 12. Chapter 12. That's the first book in the Bible. Just chapter 12. We're going to go from the start to about verse 9, and then we're going to jump over to 13. So I'm reading out of the Message version, so it's going to be a little bit different, but you guys can still follow me. It says, Abram and Sarai, God told Abram, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left just as God said, and Lot left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot with him, along with all the possessions and people that had gotten in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan and arrived safe and sound. Abram passed through the country as far as Shechem and the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites occupied the land. God appeared to Abram and said, I will give you this land to your children. Abram built an altar at the place God had appeared to him. He moved on from there to a hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent between Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. He built an altar there and prayed to God. Abraham kept moving steadily, making his way south to Negev. We're going to jump over to chapter 13, carry on from the first verse. So Abram left Egypt and went back to Negev. Oh, so in the middle, he went to Egypt. He did a few more things. I'll explain a bit more. But he left his wife and everything he owned, and Lot was still... No, so Abraham left Egypt and went back to Negev, he and his wife and everything he owned, and Lot still with him. By now, Abram was very rich, loaded with cattle and silver and gold. He moved on from Negev, camping along the way to Bethel, and the place he had first built, first set up his tent between Bethel and Ai, and built his first altar. Abram prayed there to God. Lot, who was traveling with Abram, was also rich in sheep and cattle and tents, but the land couldn't support both of them. They had too many possessions. They couldn't both live there. Quarrels broke out between Abram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living on the land at that time. Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have fighting between us. Between your shepherds and my shepherds. After all, we are family. Look around. Isn't there plenty of land out there? Let's separate. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left." Lot looked. He saw the whole plain of the Jordan spread out, well watered, like God's garden, like Egypt, and stretched all the way to Zoar. Lot took the whole plain of Jordan. Lot set out to the east. So that's how they came to part company. Uncle and nephew. Abram settled in Canaan. Lot settled in the cities of the plains and pitched his tents near Sodom. The people of Sodom were evil, flagrant sinners against God. After Lot separated from God, God said to Abram, "Open your eyes, look around. Look north, south, east, and west. Everything you see, the whole land spread out before you. I'll give to you and your children forever. I will make your descendants like dust. Counting your descendants will be as impossible as counting the dust of the earth. So on your feet, get moving, walk through the country, its length and breadth. I'm giving it all to you." Abram moved his tent. He went and settled in the Oaks of Mamre in Hebron. There he built an altar to God. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you this morning that you are real, God, and that you're present, and that you are here wanting to speak to us, Lord, wanting to change us and draw us closer to you. This morning, I pray that you would soften our hearts, Lord, to be able to hear what you have to say for us. Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning to speak your words, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, Lord, and that I would be your vessel to carry the message that you have for your people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Side note, I spoke 3 weeks ago at church, and I talked about authority and praying in line. And I don't know if you guys remember me prophesying about a certain football team winning the Champions League. Just want to let everyone know it happened. Came back from a crazy, crazy deficit. And thank you. And Jonathan's got my back too. And it's a great victory. So I just want to say, you keep praying, even though it seems impossible. You know, God will make a way. Random. But anyway, I think most of you would agree that showers are a great place where we have revelations, epiphanies, and these kind of great reflections where, for me, God speaks a lot in showers. Kind of you just stand there, especially when it's a little bit cold, and you contemplate life, and a lot of good change happens there. Anyone agree? No, just me. Most people, it's great. Yeah. So the other week, something a little bit different happened. I had more of an experience in the shower. I can tell the story. I knew that I was going there. The Leongs aren't here, so I can tell the story without being charged extra. Usually we take a shower in the morning, and that's kind of it. So for a change, I decided to go to the gym. That in itself was a miracle. I went to the gym in the afternoon, so I came back home, and I needed to take a shower in the evening. But by then, the Leongs had their grandkids and Esty, and the whole family was there. So I think they decided to take a shower in the evening as well. So by the time I got in, it was the water was starting to run out. So I kept moving it higher and higher, and it just wouldn't get hot. Like, the water was like real lukewarm. It wasn't real hot enough, and it wasn't cold. Because if it's hot, and it was a coldish evening, as we've noticed, it's already started to get a bit cold. It's the first day of winter. Apparently, officially, the first day of winter is the 22nd. But June, you know, it's starting to get cold. And so I was trying to, and it was just getting real annoying. Like, lukewarm, like, body temperature just wasn't going. It got to a stage at the end, I'm like, man, I just need to feel something. So I switched it to cold and just got a full blast just to be like, ah, okay, I'm alive, because this is just frustrating. And for me, it really kind of highlights the verse in Revelation where God says, Revelation 3:15 and 16, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out. I think it's real relevant for me and all of us at the time. You know, as humans, we all want to kind of fit into whatever suits us best. You know, when depending on the people around us, whether it be our family or our friends or our partners or spouses, whoever it is, we tend to change a little bit to fit into that mold because it's a little bit more comfortable. Or it might depend on our circumstance. You know, things are getting a little bit hard, we kind of be like, oh man, I can change this a little bit and fit into that, get a little bit more comfortable. Or if it's too easy, I'm like, oh, I can kind of change this. Or it could just be because of our mood. You know, sometimes we feel good some days we don't feel as good, some days we're a little bit angry, and depending on our mood, we can kind of to change. And half the time, it's not even intentional. It's just kind of, we tend to say it's just kind of who we are. As humans, we're so adaptable, and that's the reason we are where we are. We're at the top of the food chain is because we're so so adaptable. And as soon as an external situation or our current political climate changes, we change to fit it, to survive, to be like, oh, if I change a little bit there, and I'll be all right. If I change my views a little bit here, I'll be all right. And what this does kind of over time is it kind of makes us neither hot or cold. And the title for my sermon this morning, if you're taking notes for those couple of people, it's called In or Out, Not In and Out. I'll say it again. In or Out, Not In and Out. See, over time, if we keep changing like that, what we end up doing is we become in and out. We've got a foot in both camps. We tend to not be aware of what we stand for because we change so much. And sometimes we end up losing who we really are because we kind of mold so much. We don't know where our boundaries are. We don't know what we stand for. And most of the time, things that used to be black and white end up being a little bit gray. Things that used to be hot or cold end up turning a little lukewarm because we're in and we're out. See, the world seems to be changing so fast, and we're trying to catch up, and then the struggle to catch up with all these things that are happening, we think, oh man, ignorance is a little bit bliss. I can have my foot in here, I can believe that there, and we find the safest place to be is in the middle of both camps. We're like, out there I can be this, and here I can be this. But the thing is, being in the middle is probably one of the most dangerous places. In the first place, the first thing that these middle ground and compromises tend to make their way is into our spiritual walk. As soon as God's involved, we think, that's the easiest place for us to start making a few compromises. And we've become a bit of a consumeristic generation or a church. We think, I'm going to take... God says that fits me right now, so cool, I'll align with that. God says that's a little bit hard, so God, I'm not going to quite do that at the moment, but yeah, I might get there. And what ends up happening is we end up standing in the middle, and we frustrate everyone. We frustrate God because we're not fully obedient to him, and the world thinks we're ridiculous because we're not that way either, and we're stuck in the middle, and we kind of frustrate both sides. Kind of what do I mean by this? And for me, this image is real simple. So if we think about two trains or two carts on two different rails, and they're going opposite directions, they're going different ways. And what we tend to do is we think, oh man, if I put one foot in this track and hold on to that, and this foot in the other one and hold on to that, you know, then I've got the best of both worlds. But the thing is, as soon as the track starts to move, you have to do two things. You either have to hold on to one and let go of the other, or if you try to hold on to both, at some stage, you're going to get hurt. You're going to start to rip. And it's the same with us. We think that the safest place to be is in the middle, or ignorance is bliss. But that's how we get into the most trouble. So when in this physical image, when we think, man, that's real silly. Why do we still hold on to that in our spiritual walk and what we stand for in our truths? See, living lukewarm means that we're not living out the full potential of what God has for us. See, we can't fully go either way. God's like, man, I want you to go this way. And the world's like, cool, let's go this way. It's more fun. And we get stuck in the middle and go neither way. And we're stuck in this indecision and holding on to two things. And it's so dangerous. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. And see if we can learn from Abraham's story, who is known as the father of faith. He is our example of being faithful and following God. And see if we can get a few lessons from him. So the start of Genesis, Abraham's out there kind of minding his own business, doing his own thing, probably having a good time in life. And then God decides to show up and then starts to prophesy this ridiculous thing over his life. He's like, you are going to be the father of nations. Like, go to this land. I will give you this whole land. Side note, we often think that God's going to speak to us in a certain way, but our God is creative and unconventional. See, the God who created this universe with so many different complexities and so many varieties will not fit into a box that you have made for him. So if you think God's going to speak to you a certain way, it's not going to happen. See, for hundreds of years, through prophecies about Jesus, Israel thought that the Messiah was going to come in a certain way. He's going to come, he's going to rule, and he's going to kind of free them from everything. But what God does is he totally flips it the other way. He says, I'm going to come in a manger. I'm going to come in the lowest of lows. And what that does was it meant that the people that followed him because of the power that he had through God. It wasn't because of his title. It wasn't because he was his great leader. It was because of who he was. See, if he came in a different way, if he came in as a king or something, people would have followed him just because of his title and his authority. And it's the same for us. We think that God should answer us or speak to us in a certain way. And we tend to focus so much on this one way that we forget to look to God and be like, okay, God, how can you speak to me? That's what Israel did. They missed out on the Messiah, so many of them, because they were so focused on one way. That's a side note. That's for free for someone here. So if you want God to speak to you and you're solely focused on him speaking a certain way, you're going to be in trouble. So open up and be open to God to speak to you in different ways. Where was I? God was in the middle of doing his thing. And in Genesis 2 and 3, he prophesies. He says, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. And those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So at the ripe old age of 75, Abram and Sarah go along with Lot, their nephew, packed up their whole life and decide to say, okay, God, I'm going to the promised land because you spoke to me. And while on the journey in verse 7, God speaks to him again. And he says, I will give you this land. As soon as he steps into it, he says, I'll give you this land to your children. And that's where he builds an altar. So what Abraham does at that time is he builds an altar. And an altar is significant because it's an offering to say, God, I want to thank you. It was a marker that he places in the physical. See, it's not just a cool, cheers, God, thank you for that prophecy. It's actually a physical act that he does, and he places a mark in the natural to remind him of the promise. So after that, he keeps traveling, and he builds another altar further along, he prays again and he calls on the name of God, but then the scripture just kind of moves on. It doesn't say that God spoke to him at that time. And then the rest of the chapter, he goes to Egypt and he does a few silly things in Egypt. He gets real afraid that the Pharaoh wants his wife, so he lies to the Pharaoh and tells him that Sarah was actually his sister, because he was afraid if he found out she was his wife, he'd kill her and take her. But then the Pharaoh ends up finding out, but God comes through, saves him, and then so he decides to run away again. And so we get back to chapter 13, and he keeps traveling. By then, he's rich. He's kind of got everything. He goes back to where he first builds his altar, and he calls upon the name of the Lord again. And still, he hears nothing. And then what happens is he continues living his life. He's still crying out, and God's not really speaking to him. And then conflict ends up happening between him and Lot. They start to fight. And what this leads to is they're saying, hey, this land is big enough for the both of us. Let's separate and goes our way. So the Bible says that after Lot had left, the Lord spoke to him. See, Abraham didn't have to build an altar again. He didn't have to call upon the name of the Lord. God just speaks, and he prophesies an even bigger dream this time. This time he gives him his identity and his purpose. See, this is the prophecy that turned Abram to Abraham. It turns Sarai to Sarah. It turns Abram, which meant exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of nations. See what changed? Why did God all of a sudden, who kind of wasn't speaking to Abram for so long, why did he all of a sudden start to speak and give him this big word? See, it happens when he finally separated from Lot. And it wasn't until the moment that Abraham actually did what God told him to do right at the start of chapter 12. He says, leave your family, leave your land, and then go. So what does Abraham do? He went straight away. As soon as God said go, he goes, cool, God, I'm going to go. Let's go. Oh, also, nephew, come along with me. See, God said, leave all of your family. See, Abraham wasn't fully disobeying God. He wasn't like, stuff you, I'm not going to do all of that. He said, cool, I'm going to go straight away, God. I'm going to listen to you. But I'm also going to bring along a little bit of safety, a little bit of comfort. See, he was both in and out. He was obedient, but at the same time, he wasn't fully in. He was both in and he was out. And see, here's a couple of signs or perils of I guess being both in and out. See, the first thing is it kind of gets hard to hear God's voice. See, when we have a foot kind of in both camps, we've got so many voices speaking into us. that we kind of lose God's voice. We're in the state of indecision, and we don't know what to do, and we have our own logic, we have the voices of the world, we have the voices of friends and families, and we have these so many things because we're trying to please so many people, do so many things. We're not fully in that God's voice starts to become a little bit hard to hear. See, the other reason it might get a little bit hard to hear is Abraham already knew what God told him to do. See, God wasn't speaking to him because he'd already told him what to do. It wasn't until Abraham said, okay, God, I'm fully going to do what you say, that God spoke to him again. That God says, okay, cool, here's the next thing. And so many of us seem to get stuck at this crossroad. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what step to take. Half the time, God's already told us clearly what to do. We haven't fully embraced it to step in. And as soon as Abraham did that, his next step was revealed. It wasn't until he fully committed and said, God, I'm all in, did his voice come back. See, the second thing is when we're in this both in and out kind of mindset, what happens is things start to get a little bit uncomfortable. Conflict begins to arise. See, we were never created to live in a state of indecision or outside the plan of God. You know, how many of us have spent so long living in anxiety with these big decisions to make? Like, oh, do I take that job offer? Do I buy those things? Do I move there? Do I go to uni? Do I study this? And do I marry that person? Do I ask that person out? Those are the most anxious times in our lives when we're like, man, what do I do? But when we take that step and we go, okay, cool, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, no matter what way we go, the anxiety disappears. The uncomfortableness and conflict that arises from indecision seems to disappear. And it's exactly the same. When we're kind of in and out and we have a foot in both camps, it's just this uncomfortable state that we're in. And that's one of the signs and perils of being both in and out. And that's exactly what happened to Abram and Lot. As soon as Lot left, everything started to move forward. See, one of the last things as well is when we're both in and out, it tends to have a consequence for those around us at times too. See, here with Abraham's indecision and not fully following God, he held Sarah back. See, Sarah was part of the promise. She was promised a son. She was promised to be the mother of nations. Because of Abraham holding his thing back, him being not being fully obedient, it ended up holding Sarah back. See, when we have our foot in two camps holding on, we might be taking up the position that God wants someone else to step into. See, when we don't step into something that God's called us into, we're holding back. Maybe we're meant to be a part of something, and we go, oh, God, I don't know if I want to go in. But God's like, you're the last piece. I need you in that so that whole piece can work together. That whole movement can happen. Like, it might be God's like, at churches, I want you to go serve in a certain thing. And you're like, oh, God, it's not me. But God's like, I need you to step into that role so that my church can move forward. So I can start to make a way. So I can start to do things as a corporate. See, so often we think it's all about me and God, I'll do it when I want. But we're part of something bigger. See, we're part of the body of Christ. And if one of us is holding back, God will make things work for his good. But how much more if we fully partner in? See, I just want to give you guys a few steps this morning to help us out from going from in and out to just being fully in. See, the first thing that we have to do, the first step, is that when God gives us a promise, we need to build an altar for that promise. See, God already has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. See, whether he's already told you or whether he hasn't and he's about to. See, the promise that he has for us is the best. And it's our job to create an altar. It's because if so often God speaks to us and we think, oh, cool, that's real cool, God. And then 2 days later, we end up forgetting it. We end up thinking, oh, what was that again? I remember feeling kind of good, but I can't remember what it was. See, that's what Abraham did. Abraham went back to where his altar, where he first built his altar, and that reminded him. See, this morning, making a physical altar out of stones might seem a little bit silly for you guys, but there is something that we can do, whether it be writing it down in your journal. If you're creative, it might mean to draw something. If you're good with your hands, it might mean you need to build something. Or for you, if it was a significant place that God spoke to you, and that making that place significant and saying, hey God, this is significant. Building an altar means it's a place where we can always remember what God spoke to us. It's creating a physical thing to say, God, I remember what you said to me. So that's the first step, is to build an altar for your promise. Step two is we need to cleave the excess. See, we all know that there are things in our lives that will hinder us into stepping into the fullness of what God has promised for us. For Abraham, it was Lot. For the Israelites, it was unbelief. See, we all have something, whether it be a person, or a relationship, a habit, a job, a circumstance, whatever it is, there's always going to be something that we have to let go to be able to fully hold on to what God has for us. See, we know that what God has for us is the best, and this journey is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not like God's going to speak to you and you build this altar, and then as soon as you do that, like all these things are going to fall off you. Sometimes it works that way, but half the time it's a process, it's a journey, and it's a different length for every single person. But on that journey, it's a process of saying, okay, God, I'm going to slowly start to cleave that off me. I'm slowly going to start to leave it. It's going to be a daily decision to say, okay, I'm going to put that to death. It's a daily decision. I'm not going to go back to that thing. It's a daily decision to say, hey, God, I choose to fully follow you. And the journey's not always straight. Sometimes we veer off a little bit. But that's when step three comes, as we go back to the altar. See, the final step on this journey is to always go back to the first promise. Always go back to the first thing that God has said and say, God, I'm back. See, if we didn't build that altar, we wouldn't know where to start. We wouldn't know where to go back to. And it's so easy, as I said, to forget the promises that God has for us. But when we go back to his promise on this journey, God starts to speak to us again. That's when he gives us the next step. And then we go on this journey again on that next step. Okay, God, I need to let go of these things to take the next step. And then we go back to the altar, and then God's like, okay, cool, here's the next step. And see, this isn't three easy steps and you clock it. It's a daily thing. It's a routine. It's a cycle. We build an altar and say, okay, God, at this altar, I'm going to sacrifice the things that I don't need, and I'm going to start walking towards you. And as soon as we start to stray a little bit, say, God, I'm going to come back to the altar and remember what you said to me. And then next step, say, okay, God, the next step, to take the next step, I need to do this again. See, the fact is, no matter who you are, we're going to get stuck at these crossroads. And at some stage, we'll have to decide whether we're in or out. And being both in and out is just not going to be enough. See, the fact that Abraham, the father of faith, was stuck in both an in and out camp gives us hope that we can make it through. That no matter where we are at this stage in life, that we can take the next step and step into the fullness of what God has for us. See, in our current cultural climate, where there's no such thing as black and white anymore, everything's kind of fluid, and the world is full of different shades of gray. How do we stay fully in? by going back to the rock that is God, by building an altar on our, I'm going to base it on you. See, on a journey, there isn't just one set of crossroads. Will be a whole bunch that will get, that will start to appear on our way. And it's at those decisions that we say, God, I choose to fully follow you. And these things are going to have a cost. I'm not saying it's going to be, it's not going to be easy every time. Sometimes that cleaving means we have to lose some things, and sometimes lose things that might be precious to us, that have been so precious to us. But God says, I have something even more precious. See, the promise of God is so much bigger and better than anything that it can cost us. See, for Abraham, it cost him a separation from his nephew, but it gave him a bigger and better family. He never fully lost Lot. He was still there. But that separation meant that he's like, man, I'm losing my family. But God's like, I have nations to give you. And for him, Abraham at the time was like, man, this is the family I got. Like, I've got nothing. But God's like, I have so much more. It's the same for you this morning. God's like, I've got nations for you. I've got so much for you. And you're holding on to this little thing. God's like, trust that. Give that to me and see what I can do to you. What I can do through you. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? We're going to just pray for a few different groups of people this morning. For those of us that are here and saying, God, I need you to speak to me, or I need you to remind me again this morning of what your promise is for me. Why don't we just take a couple of moments, it's just between you and God this morning, and say, God, speak to me. Oh God, remind me of that promise. I've seemed to stray a little bit. I've forgotten, and voices have said so many different things. But this morning, God, remind me again what you've spoken to me. I want to thank you this morning that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, God. Lord, that your ways are bigger and better than anything we can dream of, Lord. And what you have for us is worth so much more than what it costs us, Lord. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would speak to us afresh, Lord. Remind us again, Lord. Bring to life those promises that you placed in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would breathe life into them again, Lord. I pray that you'd breathe excitement, Lord. I pray that you would purpose again, Lord. Identity again, Lord. That you would breathe more of you, God. The next step is ours. God's like, here, this is what I want for you. This is my dream. This is my purpose for you. The next decision is up to us to say, God, I'm fully in. I'm fully in. And that's something between you and God this morning. So we're going to give you guys another few moments between you and God. It's an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm fully in. What does that mean for me? God, this morning, as we choose to fully surrender to you, God, and we say we're all in, Lord, I pray that you'd give us the boldness and the courage to step into what you have for us, Lord. Pray that you'd give us the wisdom to take the right steps, Lord. That you'd give us the courage to be able to cleave the excess, Lord, to let go of the things that are holding us back and stopping us from stepping into the fullness of what you have for us. Lord, this week, I pray for opportunities, Lord, for us to be able to step out and step in, Lord. Opportunities where we can let go of things that we've been holding on for so long, Lord. Opportunities to take that bold step in the direction that you want us to go, Lord. Lord, I pray that this week will be so significant for each one of us, Lord. As we choose once again to step into the fullness of what you have for us, God. God, we want to thank you, God, that you'll always chase us, God. Lord, no matter how long it takes, no matter how far we try to run, and no matter how we choose to live, Lord, that you will never let us go. That you're always there. That you will continue to chase us down. And Lord, that you will use all our decisions and our circumstances to work for your good, Lord. And I speak that over each person's life this morning, Lord. That you work all things together for our good, Lord. On this journey to the fullness of what you have for us, Lord. Those times where we step the wrong way or step in both camps, Lord, you still hold on. You still call us back and you still work things for our good and your glory, Lord. We want to thank you for who you are. In your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is not the end. This is the beginning. And I know it's a cliche, but I think it's real important with things that I know that God's brought back to your memory. I know that God's reminded you of a few things that he's spoken. It might have been recently. It might have been years ago. But I really want to encourage you this week or even today, build that altar. Whatever that looks like for you, whether it is to journal it down, whether it is to speak to someone to keep you accountable, whether it is to draw it, whatever it is for you that keeps you, that it reminds you that as soon as you look back at it or it comes in conversation where you say, man, that's what God has for me. This is for your own benefit. It is for you to step into the fullness of what God has for you. So I really want to encourage you this week, whatever that looks like for you, whatever that altar physically looks like for you, be bold to step into it. In Jesus' name, amen.